I'm the senior pastor of Park City Church. I'm doing that for 4 years now. It's in Heerlen, half an hour drive from here. I must say, you're a quite funky church. You know, I was standing like this the whole time, worshiping and praising, and I think the title of my message just fits in very well. Because the title of my message is Get Up, Stand Up, Don't Give Up the Fight. Now, maybe you know, you feel some reggae tune coming up. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight. Now, that's what I'm talking about today. Well, let's pray first. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege that I have to be here and to speak your word to your church. Thank you for this fantastic church, Lord, in this great city. Lord, I pray that you will speak to the hearts of everyone. Holy Spirit, that you will have your way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so let's read from the Bible, Joshua 7, verse 6 till 10. So it says, Joshua and the leaders of Israel tore their clothes in grief, threw themselves to the ground before the Lord's covenant box, and lay there till evening, with dust on their heads to show their sorrow. And Joshua said, Sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan at all? To turn us over to the Amorites? To destroy us? Why didn't we just stay on the other side of the Jordan? What can I say, O Lord, now that Israel has retreated from the enemy? The Canaanites and everyone else in the country will hear about it. They will surround us and kill every one of us. And then what will you do to protect your honor? And the Lord said to Joshua, Get up! Why are you lying on the ground like this? And I was reading from the Good News translation. So this scripture verse, it talks about Joshua. And Joshua, I don't know about you, but for me, Joshua is always one of my great heroes from the Bible. And I was really waiting for me to have a son so I could name him Joshua. I knew it even before I had kids, that I wanted to name my son Joshua, because Joshua was my example. He took the land, you know, he was the warrior, he was the hero, he wasn't afraid of anything. So I had to wait 2 daughters before I got my son. He's 8 years old, and I named him Joshua for that very reason. And when you're thinking about giving up or discouragement or being afraid, you don't think about Joshua. I think of other figures in the Bible, but I don't think about Joshua straight away. But if you read this scripture verse, you see a fearful and discouraged Joshua over here. So I was really amazed when I read this scripture verse. I was like, what? Is this my Joshua? Is this my hero lying on the ground, being afraid? You know, we all want to be like Joshua and Caleb. You know, the story about the 12 spies, you know. They came to look, the promised land, check it out. And we don't want to be like the 10 other guys, you know. When you read the story, you want to be like Joshua and Caleb, or not? Yeah. You don't want to be like the 10 losers, you know. But in this story, Joshua, well, he's acting more like the 10 losers than the hero Joshua, the warrior Joshua. But still we hear God speaking in this part of Scripture, and God is saying to Joshua, Get up! Why are you lying on the ground like this? Joshua, the strong warrior, the strong leader, lying on the ground. Why was that? Why was he lying on the ground? What got him so discouraged that he couldn't get up again? Why did God need to urge him to get up on his feet again? Well, this happens to all of us, also to Christians, in case you didn't know. But in life, following Jesus, you know, we have to face setbacks. And this is what Joshua experienced as well. He experienced a setback. So we all will come across setbacks in our life. But the striking thing is that before, the chapter before, in Joshua 6, you can read of a victorious, glorious victory over Jericho. And it wasn't just a victory, it was a supernatural, mind-blowing victory. I mean, walls came down only by shouting and by praising. Blows my mind. What a miracle, what a mighty God we serve. And without these walls, with these walls coming down, it was easy for them to take Jericho. And Joshua knew, with God on my side, everything is possible. No wall can stop me. God will make a way where there is no way. If He can let those gigantic walls come down, He can do everything. We can win every battle, right? But things turned out different. The next city that was to be taken was the city called Ai. And it was a small city, which should have been no problem for the army of Israel, especially when you compare it to Jericho. So we read that Joshua doesn't send his whole army. He sends only 3,000 soldiers. Well, that's enough to conquer Ai. But against all odds, the army of Joshua was defeated. Whoa. Ai. For the ones who are paying attention. And then we read the response of Joshua on his defeat. And that's where we start reading. Joshua and the leaders of Israel, they tore their clothes in grief, threw themselves to the ground before the Lord's covenant box, and lay there till the evening with dust on their heads to show their sorrow. So, he didn't lie down for just a minute. No, he lay on the ground the whole day till the evening. He was really depressed. He was really in the pit. Like 1 million people in Holland. You know, they take antidepressant medications because they suffer from depression. You know, people who don't want to get up in the morning, who want to, you know, hide under their blankets, keep the curtains closed, you know. A lot of people suffer from depression and just want to lay on the ground, you know, just like Joshua over here. So Joshua, he makes his complaint to God, and I want to point out four things that he is saying. The first thing that he's saying, "Sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan at all? Why?" Have you ever asked that question to God? Why? The why question. We are really good in the why question. If something happens that we don't understand, our first response is, why? The other day, I crashed my car and my first question was, why, Lord? Why? And I also asked the question to myself, why? And to my wife, why didn't you pay attention? You know, or the kids, why are you being like this, you know, in the back seat? Anyway, we like to ask the why question. Why did I lose my job? Why didn't I get my scholarship for students? Why did I lose a loved one? Joshua was just like us. That's what I love about the Bible. The Bible doesn't talk about superheroes, but ordinary men and women who face the same challenges as we do. So Joshua, he's just a human, a normal guy, asking a why question. Lord, I don't get it. We conquered Jericho, and every battle belongs to the Lord. And this tiny, small city, they just walk right over us. Why, Lord? And then he answers the question himself. The second thing, to turn us over to the Amorites to destroy us. That's his answer to his own question. And that's a response full of unbelief. So I wonder what happened to his image of God. Joshua, the man of faith. Is he really believing that God took him all the way down there to be destroyed by the Amorites? Is that really what he believes? That God took him all the way from Egypt, let them cross the river Jordan, enter the promised land, conquer Jericho and then being crushed by the Amorites? Is this really what he's thinking? Third thing that I want to point out is that he's saying, why didn't we just stay on the other side of the Jordan? Another why question. In other words, I wish I never had started this. Have you ever asked yourself that question when things get rough? When you face some setbacks or some problems that you're like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have started this at all. And that's just a question that Joshua asked to himself and to God. In other words, he wished he had stayed in his comfort zone. By crossing the river Jordan, he went to the promised land, but he had to face some enemies as well. Yeah, there will be battles. It wasn't easy. The road that we are going with Jesus isn't always easy. You have to get out of your comfort zone. The fourth thing that I want to point out is that Joshua is saying, what can I say, O Lord, now that Israel has retreated from the enemy? The Canaanites and everyone else in the country will hear about it. They surround us and kill every one of us. And then what will you do to protect your honor? Well, this last response is even filled with more unbelief than the response before. You know, and that's what's happening when you don't guard your heart, you know, for fear and unbelief. You're going on a gliding scale, you know, like a slide effect. It only gets worse. First, he was saying, well, the Amorites will destroy us. And now he's saying, and all the other countries that surrounding us, all the other people that surrounding us, they will destroy us. And of all the people, Joshua is saying this. The man who always encouraged his own people to cross the river Jordan, to have faith, to take the land, to stand on the promise. And now he's saying the complete opposite here. And does this response of Joshua sound familiar to you? When you start reading in Exodus and Numbers, Leviticus, constantly, every chapter, you read these complaints of the people. They're complaining to Moses. Why did you take us all the way over here in the desert? Why did you take us out of Egypt? Just to let us die over here? Man, I wish we would have stayed in Egypt. Man, that we had it better there, you know? And Joshua was the one who stood up then, who opposed that complaining and spoke faith instead of being fearful as well. It's the same response that the people in the desert had. Joshua is saying the same things. Apart from Caleb, Joshua was the only one who wanted to cross the river Jordan. And here he is saying he should have never crossed it. He forgot about the supernatural, glorious victory over a year ago, a couple of days ago. Now, how come we tend to forget the miracles of God so quickly? God does a miracle, and we're like, oh, happy day, happy day. And the next day, something happens, and we're down on the ground, and we're whining, and we're complaining, you know? How come we forget so quickly the things that God has done in our lives? I was really encouraged by your testimony. You know, so it encourages us again to believe that God is the same as he was yesterday. God doesn't change, you know. He is God of his word. Jericho was taken in faith, without weapons, only with a shout of praise. Impossible with men. So they really had to trust God for that. And I think the problem with Ai is there was a small city, and instead of putting their trust in God, they could put their trust in themselves. Ah, we should only send 3,000 soldiers. That's enough. We can have them. You know, they're trusting their own abilities. That's why God calls us for the impossible. Because the possible we can do ourselves. But when God calls you for the impossible, you know that God has to do it through you. So Damascus Road, God is calling you to do impossible things in Maastricht. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Come on. They thought they could do it with 3,000 soldiers. And then, bam, the blow was even harder because Joshua expected an easy victory. And when you expect an easy victory and you get a defeat, that's a great, huge disappointment. You know, it's like, I don't know if you watched World Cup. I guess you do. It was a good World Cup for Holland. But when Holland would play against Andorra, a tiny football nation, we expect us to win. I wouldn't even watch television. You know, I would read it in the paper next day. I expect Holland to win 7-1. But then, when Andorra beats Holland 7-1, man, that would really blow me away, you know. I would be really disappointed in our football team. So, it's just the same with Joshua. He just thought, you know, we already have I. He was already busy planning the next city. But then got defeated. He didn't expect that to happen. So he laid on the ground, complaining and whining until the evening. And then suddenly God starts speaking to him. Enough, Joshua. And God doesn't answer his why questions. He doesn't respond to his whining and complaining. No. God tells him, says two words, get up. And that's the same thing that God is saying to some of you this morning. Get up. Get up, Joshua. Why are you lying on the ground? So God asks him a why question now. Why are you lying on the ground? And when God asks a question, he doesn't ask a question to get information, because God knows everything. God knows your heart, all the numbers of your hair. He have counted them. But when God asks a why question, it's because of you. To reveal the motives of your heart. To make something clear for you. This is the case with Joshua. And there's a whole different perspective here, you know, between Joshua's perspective on the situation and God's perspective. Why are you lying on the ground? For God, there is no reason to lie on the ground. For Joshua, he felt like there were reasons enough to keep lying on the ground. But for God's perspective, there was no single reason to act the way Joshua did. Joshua, why did you forget all the victories from the past? Why do you allow a small setback to give up? Why do you doubt yourself like it's your fault? Why do you think I am not with you anymore? And God asks the very same question to you. You know, I don't know in what kind of situation you are, what kind of challenges you're facing, but the question is still the same. Why are you lying on the ground? You know, God is still the same God, and he is for you. Amen. Why are you lying on the ground? Maybe because you've sinned again. Maybe because you've failed again. Maybe because you don't feel good enough for God. Maybe this morning you had those thoughts coming up in your mind. Oh man, I had a bad week. This week, I did some stupid stuff. I failed again. Lord, I failed you. I can better stay in my bed this morning than go to church because I'm not good enough for you. You know, that's what the enemy is always trying to do, to make you keep lying on the ground. And then God reveals the real reason of the defeat. Joshua, it's not your fault. A single man who took stuff from Jericho, which God had forbidden. That was the reason that I could defeat Israel. God gives him revelation. God gives him a totally different perspective on the situation. Something Joshua couldn't know, but God knows everything. And when God speaks to you, it changes your perspective. Come on, say it. Change your perspective.
Change your perspective.
Yeah, that's what God can do. He can change your perspective. Joshua thought it was his fault. Joshua thought God wasn't with him anymore. No, it was none of that. It was one single man who disobeyed God. So I could defeat the army of Israel. So now Joshua knows what the problem is, and Joshua can deal with that. And God encourages Joshua again. If you read Joshua 1, chapter 1, you see that God multiple times telling Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And I think that God, again, is speaking to his heart. Joshua, continue to be strong and courageous. This might have happened, but I am still your God. I will still give you one victory after another. I am still with you. Keep looking at me. Keep looking at my greatness. Know who you are in me. Keep standing on the promise. Because the promised land is still the promised land. No matter this setback, what I promise, I will do. Joshua, you may lose a battle, but with me on your side, you will win the war. It's the same with us. You can lose a battle, but it doesn't mean that you've lost the war. You know? But when you keep on lying on the ground, yeah, then you lost. But the devil can never conquer you when you keep on getting up, when you keep on standing up. Don't stay down. You know, the thing is, the enemy wants an army that's lying on the ground. It wants a church that's lying on the ground. You know, Christians that are lying on the ground. An army that doesn't believe in itself. An army that doesn't know who they are. An army like lying on the ground as dead bones in a valley. An army that says, I wish I never had. That makes me think of Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The valley of the dead bones. Let's read it together. I felt the powerful presence of the Lord, and His Spirit took me and set me down in a valley where the ground was covered with bones. He led me all around the valley, and I could see that there were very many bones and that they were very dry. And He said to me, mortal man, can these bones come back to life? I replied, Sovereign Lord, only You can answer that. He said, prophesy to the bones. Tell these dry bones to listen to the word of the Lord. Tell them that I, the Sovereign Lord, I'm saying to them, I am going to put breath into you and bring you back to life. I will give you sinews and muscles and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, into you and bring you back to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been told. And while I was speaking, I heard rattling noise, and the bones began to join together. While I watched, the bones were covered with sinews and muscles, and then with skin. But there was no breath in the bodies. And God said to me, mortal man, prophesy to the wind. Tell the wind that the Sovereign Lord commands it to come from every direction to breathe into these dead bodies and to bring them back to life. So I prophesied as I had been told. Breath entered the bodies, and they came to life. And what did they do? They stood up. And there was enough of them to form an army. Wow, a dead army came to life again, stood up. And what made the bones come together? The word of God. And what made the army stand up and be able to move forward again? The breath of God, the spirit of God. It's the same with Joshua. What made him stand up? God's word, God speaking to his heart. God giving him revelation. God giving him a change of perspective that made him stand up again. The depression had to go. The unbelief departed from him. Fear didn't have no hold on him anymore. When God speaks to your heart, you will be changed from the inside out. It's not that your circumstances change immediately, because I still defeated them and he still had to deal with some stuff. But something changed in his heart. The fear left, unbelief left, and he got his courage back again so he could stand up again. And when God is breathing his life in you by his Spirit, you will feel his power, and his Holy Ghost power will make you stand up again. So God's word puts you back on your feet, and God's Spirit will get you in motion again. You know, we are living in a spiritual battle. And I think Pastor Matthew must have told you that. That's not new. When you say yes to Jesus, you say no to the devil. That means you have an enemy. And this enemy will always try to intimidate you. Will always try to oppress you with his lies. You know, he will do everything in his power every day to get you down, to make you struggle, you know. And once you're on the ground, he wants to stay there, you know. He becomes the accuser. Ah, are you a Christian? Struggling, stumbling? Look at yourself laying down there, man. You're dirty. Yeah, but when you are taking promised land, when you're taking land, when you're not staying in your comfort zone, when you're walking in your calling, when you're walking in your destiny, there will be opposition. But no matter what happens, in everything, you will be more than conquering. It doesn't matter how many times you fall. What matters is that you rise again. Yes. Proverbs 24, verse 16, you don't have to look it up, but it says, though a righteous man falls, he will get up. He falls 7 times, you will get up. But when we read further in Joshua 7, in verse 24, you will see that this defeat against Ai and the revelation of God that followed will lead them to the valley of Achor. Have you heard of that, the valley of Achor? Yeah. Well, I won't go into further details. Maybe at home you have to read that story. But this valley of Achor, it's not like a place you want to be in. The things that happened over there were not so nice. But though they were necessary, Joshua had to deal with some stuff. Joshua had to go through the valley of Achor to turn the defeat into a victory. He couldn't skip that part. He had to go through the valley. But so we all have to go to valleys once in a while. You know, we all rather be on the mountaintop and start praising and worshiping. But sometimes in our life, there will be valleys. But God does a promise in Hosea 2 verse 15. And it says that, I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. That's great. Even in your darkest valley, where there seems no way out, seems the end, seems no door, then God just makes a door. When you think there is no hope, God speaks his word and bam, there is hope again. There is a door. I like this quote. Some defeats are only installments for victory. And in this case, it was. This defeat of Ai was an installment for victory. He had to deal with sin. You know, he had to deal with his problems in the valley of Achor, but he came out stronger. When you go through a valley of shadow of death, it reminds me of the song. You know, Coolio? When I walk through the valley of the shadows of death. Yeah, okay. But it isn't so nice to walk.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, amen. It isn't so nice to walk. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're not walking through a valley of shadow of death like Coolio and doing the rap moves, you know? No, it's kind of dark. It's kind of scary, you know? And you certainly should not just lay on the ground in the valley and stay there. No. It says through the valley. It means you go through it. It does mean that you just keep, you have to keep on moving. You have to keep on walking, following the Lord through the valley. So don't be afraid. And Joshua stood up and he took the promised land, but Jesus also had a promised land. Jesus had a mission. For this cause, I am born. But in fact, both names, they have the same meaning. Joshua and Yeshua, it means the Lord saves. Jesus, his mission was to die on the cross for our sins. You know, but the road of the cross wasn't an easy one. There were some difficulties along that road. But every time Jesus faced a challenge, we read that he stood up again. So it begins in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it happens to be, so I looked that up, in the Kidron Valley. And it's between the Mount Olives and the city. It's in a valley. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, we read in Mark 15, verse 35, that he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. As he fell on the ground. And while lying on the ground, Jesus got terrified. And Luke, the Gospel of Luke says that his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. There was a battle going on inside of Jesus. Drinking the cup or let it pass. Staying on the ground or get up. And Jesus was praying and was asking his Father, Lord, not my will be done, but yours will be done. And he called God Abba. It's like daddy. He really called for his daddy. And in that moment, before he stood up, I believe that his daddy spoke words of life to him. Jesus, for this cause you were born. You are my son. I sent you into the world for this very hour. It's not the time to give up. It's not the time to remain lying on the floor, on the ground. It's time to get up. The cross is my will. Stand up, Jesus. And that's what Jesus did. He stood up and his perspective changed. And he knew again, not my will be done, but yours will be done. And I will follow you. I will take up my cross. I will deny myself. And then he gets up and he walks to the disciples and he finds the disciples sleeping. And he says the very same thing that God told Joshua to do. He tells the disciples, get up! Because the disciples, they fell asleep. Get up and pray. And that should be our response when we're on the ground. Don't start whining. Don't start complaining. Start praying. And you're a praying church. I've noticed that. Because prayer makes the difference. The second time that Jesus had to stand up was while he was carrying the cross. He couldn't carry the cross anymore. And when I was thinking about that, I was like, how come Jesus, the Son of God, that he couldn't carry a cross anymore? Well, that's because Jesus took our place. Jesus became human, became just like us. And after all the torture and all the beating, Jesus was so exhausted, he couldn't bear his own cross anymore. So he can identify with you. And sometimes you feel like you can't go on anymore. It's too much to bear. You can't carry that cross. You feel like you can't follow Jesus. Now, Jesus can identify with that because he has been in the same place. But what does God do? God sends someone. God sent Simon of Cyrene. He took Jesus' cross. And that made Jesus being able to stand up again. So he could walk on. So he could move on further towards his destiny. And that is Calvary. What a promise is that? 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. What a promise. We won't be tempted beyond what we can bear. When the burden is too heavy, He will carry your burden. The Bible says, cast your burdens unto Jesus, for He cares for you. And when He carries your load, you can stand up again. And that's what you have to do. Because of Simon, Jesus could stand up again and He could walk on towards the cross. The third time Jesus stood up was after lying dead in a grave for 3 days. And that's exactly where the devil wants you to be, wants the church to be, wants Christians to be. Lying in a grave, dead, paralyzed, passive, in the dark. A huge stone before the entrance, so you're not, no threat for him. But that couldn't withhold Jesus from standing up. Because when God says, live, you will live. Death can't stay dead. When God says, live, you will come alive. So when God says freedom, you will be free. When God says be healed, you will be healed. When God says every chain will be broken, every chain will be broken. And every depression has to go. Every fear has to go. And you will break free. And you will experience His resurrection power, His Holy Spirit, the very Spirit that got Jesus out of the grave lives inside of us. His resurrection power is in us. Romans 8 verse 11, and I will close with that one. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Father God, I thank You for Your presence in this place. I thank You that You're here with Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your Word that has been spoken. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that's moving through this place. Lord, we are an army. We are soldiers in Your kingdom. And I pray for every single person right now in this place who feels like Joshua, lying on the ground, having a setback, discouraged, fearful, without hope, feeling like they're going through a valley. But thank You, God, that in every valley, You will create a door of hope. And I pray, Lord, that You encourage Your people this morning. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, make us rise again. And break every accusation of the devil. It's trying to put us down. Release Your people, Father, in the name of Jesus. Because there is no condemnation for who is in Christ Jesus.